one that probably was most significant, that was toughest to leave, was being a lawyer. I was in a law firm. I'd practiced law for 10 years, had my name on the door, which is no small trick when your last name is Swindling. After the birth of our first child, something didn't feel right.
Here's the question today. Is your work working for you? Are you in the right spot? Are you doing exactly what God would have you do? Are you in that sweet spot? If not, we're going to get intentional with this whole topic of being exactly where God wants you to be in the workplace.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Randy's the president of Family Life Communications, a best-selling author, counselor and conference speaker, and your advocate for the family. Now from the studios at the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, here's Randy.
Indeed. Thank you, Kurt. We are right here at our Intentional Living Center where we research and we pray and we plan and we prepare content to help people around the world to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it, to know our purpose and to live our purpose and to finish every day strong. We get about 27,000 days here on this planet. Let's make them count. Now, is there such a thing as a perfect job? I know that we're to do whatever we do unto the Lord. So even if you're in a spot where you don't enjoy what you do, it's an attitude and you can make a decision today to make that work for you. But here's a bigger, I guess maybe a more profound question. Are you really doing what God would have you do? Are you using the skills and the talents, if you're in the workplace, to be where God would have you be? Today, if your work isn't working for you and the fit doesn't fit, we're going to help you make it fit and help you think differently, to think intentionally. We're going to hear Linda's story in just a moment. Very fascinating story of change and growth in her life. But first, take a listen to this.
How did you find the right job for you?
There was a point in time when my children, my boys in particular, were 10 and 8 years old, and the job I had kept me from them. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, show me a job that I can have where I can be a father.
I was asked to fill in and work for someone, and it just led to a permanent position. And when I look back, I see that it really was the Lord's will to bring me into this job.
I took a little piece of each of the other jobs that I worked for with someone else and created my own.
Self-employed, huh?
Absolutely.
I was offered the job and I told the guy, I says, I've never done that before. He said, I want you to have that job. I said, I can't do that. He said, sure you can. I said, let me think about it over the weekend. I came back in the weekend. I said, all right, understand, I can't do this. If you still want me, I'll take it. He goes, I still want you. I said, okay, I'll take the job.
Appreciate you sharing your story with us as well on our comment line or our story line when you call 888-888-1717. And, you know, there are five essential areas of life, and one of them is work. If you look at the scripture, there's a lot said about work and the importance of doing everything we do unto the Lord. But, you know, there are some days you get up and say, you know, I'm doing it unto the Lord, but frankly, I don't feel like I'm in the right place. And we're going to hear a story about that today from our Intentional Living workplace expert and friend, Linda Swindling, is with us. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. I understand this is sort of your journey.
Oh, it is. You know, I've had a lot of different jobs, but the one that probably was most significant, that was toughest to leave, was being a lawyer. I was in a law firm. I'd practiced law for 10 years. Had my name on the door, which is no small trick when your last name is Swindling lawyer. And it just, after the birth of our first child, something didn't feel right. And I didn't, you know, we'd gone to church, I'd prayed about it, and I finally...
When you say it doesn't feel right, what were you sensing? What were you feeling?
That I was putting a lot of effort into something that wasn't getting the results that I could be getting somewhere else.
So,
and what was so hard was, you know, I'd studied to do this, and I'd put in a lot of time, a lot of years, and it's almost an ego thing,
yeah,
you know,
so,
to walk away from something that you know to kind of jump out into something you don't know.
So you were coming home feeling more drained than energized at the end of the day.
Energy drained, yes. Yeah. I even heard an old voicemail, you know, back then we had a tape recorder, so I heard the end part of a tape, and I just sounded like someone had beat me up. It was just sad, and I was complaining and whining, and honestly I needed to get some help, and I needed somebody to help guide me through that process of it's okay to take what you've learned and now apply it somewhere else.
All right, so what'd you do?
I hired a business coach. I had seen a program on TV, went to a conference, and met a Christian business coach, Elaine, and her last name is Morris, and she basically did some assessments on me, figured out some of my natural spiritual gifts, and said, how in the world did you become an attorney? This is not a fit, you know, based on what I'm seeing. And really, really worked with me for a year to try to build that practice. And then after that, what did I want to do later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you become a lawyer? Was this family pressure or what?
Absolutely not. It was probably the reverse. We didn't really have any lawyers in our family. I had run through some careers. I had been a professional dancer, you know, tap, jazz, and ballet, and come to school on a dance scholarship and went into broadcast journalism. And that wasn't quite a fit. And I remember, this is terrible to say, but I remember a teacher in high school saying, well, you would never be a good lawyer. And my personality is like,
oh, I'll show you.
Yeah, I'll challenge you. I'll be miserable for 3 years in school and 10 years in practice.
Yeah, were you miserable in the school, too? I mean, did you know now in retrospect that going through even the training wasn't energizing to you?
I knew the first week of law school.
Wow.
And I am stubborn. And I also, you know, the legal training taught me things that I use every day. And it taught me how not to be so emotional and be more strategic. And it really taught me how to survive in a competitive environment. And I didn't know how to do that. So it gave me incredible gifts. And I found ways to negotiate my way through law school. You know, I found friends and peers and mentors and professors I still stay in touch with. But, yeah, it wasn't a natural fit.
Yeah.
And everything up until that point, when I ran organizations, when I spoke, those were natural fits. Writing was a very natural fit. And that's what's really hard is admitting, you know, I think I might have made a mistake here.
Well, which is hard. I mean, you've had a tremendous amount of investment by this time, money, time, energy, reputation, career, and then all of a sudden, you know, I want to go do something else, maybe some other direction. Hold on, Linda, I'd like to have you come back and tell us about what happened through that process of consulting and what you're doing now. And what do you say to someone who may be feeling what you felt back then?
This is Lori Allen. Perhaps I was asked to talk about getting along with coworkers because I've survived the worst our broken world has to offer. The paranoid, the backstabbers, the gossipers, the thieves, the manipulative, and the merely unkind. If you have avoided workplaces without running into these kinds of bosses or office mates, count your blessings. It does seem as if some people thrive on putting others down or creating extra unnecessary work. When this happens, I think to myself, misery loves company. If you have worked with these so-called humans, you may have even brought them to Jesus, and they may have even changed their ways. As difficult as it may be to discover the good in your cranky, grumpy colleagues, look at them the way God would, with love. And remember, Jesus died for them, too. You may still want to pull your hair out, scream, and stomp when one of these mean people lies in a meeting or takes credit for the 3-month project you did. Here's a comforting line to use at such times. At least I don't have to marry this person. If you're already married to him or her, let me know. I'll pray for you. For Intentional Living, I'm Lori Allen.
Thank you, Lori. Always good counsel for us today on the Intentional Women Spot. If you have something you'd like to share, what God has been doing in your life, maybe around this topic today of not being satisfied where you are in the workplace, you want to honor Christ, but you're being de-energized, you're being drained with what you're doing, you know there's got to be something that's going to be more intentional for you and your life and your time. Tell us your journey. Tell us what you're learning, maybe even the journey you started out at, as you call 888-888-1717. Linda Swindling, who joins us often with good advice in the workplace, was an attorney, said, that's not energizing in my life, went through consulting, made a change. What did you learn, and what have you done?
One thing I learned was I didn't have all the training I needed. So I went and got some training in negotiation skills and in mediation. So sometimes you have to learn some things before you can move.
Yeah.
The other thing was I had to put the ego aside, and I had to put the, oh, I've invested all this time, and really look at what have I learned? What am I going to do with it? And then I had to have that really tough discussion with my husband. And do you know what? It wasn't as tough as you might think. He knew I'd been miserable because he'd been living with me all this time.
he'd rather have a happy wife than a miserable wife who maybe is making more money.
Happy wife, happy life. You got
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
and I think that was probably the permission I needed, was for him to say, you know, I've always wondered why you stayed with it this long, because you've been miserable. And he's always been very supportive. So having somebody say, you know, there's other options. The other thing is, I didn't know that what I wanted to do, speaking professionally and helping people, you know, grow, I didn't even know that was a career option. And I think that's something that we forget about. We just know what our family's done, our friends have done, or maybe what we've grown up with. There may be a totally different option or career that's developed just since you've been, you know, practicing yeah. or working in your job.
That's very true. How long ago was that you made that switch?
I did this, I did it right before our second child was born, so I can kind of track. I started transitioning after the first one was born. It took me about 3 years to get out of law. Hmm. And I became a mediator and did all these things, but it wasn't big enough. It wasn't a big enough platform, and I wasn't helping enough people. So it's been 17 years. And I've done it for 13.
So you made a change. You become a consultant, speaker, and author. How is your day different today, personally, than it was when you were practicing?
Now I help people speak for themselves. Before, I was speaking on their behalf, and it's a total change
wow.
to see someone say, you know, I want to be intentional in how I speak. I can handle this problem. And most of the time, they're like me. They needed encouragement to try something a little different. May feel uncomfortable, but that's different. It's fun to work with the people I work with. I can say no. I can do work that really is work that I was created
yeah.
to do.
What are two or three things a person today who resonates with your story should do next in the next 30 days?
First off, forgive yourself. Do not beat yourself up because you've taken a path that now isn't working. Make a list. Say, what have I learned that I did not know 5 years ago, or whatever it is? Secondly, go find other people who are similarly situated. There's all sorts of job networks. It's not just for people who are unemployed at this time. It's people who are searching. And third, find somebody who's a guide, someone who will give you objective feedback, godly feedback, people who care about you. Find somebody who can actually help you walk through some of this path, because it's an education just like anything else you do.
Hmm. Well, Linda, thanks for joining us today, and I think somebody's got motivated. I can just sense some listener somewhere said, hey, she's got me thinking, and I'm going to get intentional in the next 30 days and really seek what God may have that's going to be more fulfilling and more beneficial for kingdom work. And let us know if that's a step you're taking, that's your 30-day challenge. Tell us about it when you call 888-888-1717.
I am going to be intentional about learning how to use a computer. I have a fear of computers. I've taken numerous classes, panicked, and rushed out of the room. I haven't listened before, and I am going to make it a point to conquer this fear. Thank you.
I just wanted to share what I want to be intentional about our work. My husband's been out of work for 3 years, and he's been putting applications in everywhere. I know that God has a plan for us, but sometimes I worry too much because of financial difficulties. I want to be intentional and not worrying about things. I was just going to let you know, I love your guys' show, and to let anybody else that's out there struggling without their husband working, that God will take care of you.
Mm. Boy, that's a good reminder. He will, and I can hear your sweet voice, the fact that you're trusting him even though you're very concerned on the inside, and I don't think that's unheard of. I mean, in our lives, we're human beings, and when we go through difficult times, it's hard not to worry, but we know we should trust, but it's hard not to worry. And I think of the passage that says we should be anxious for nothing, Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and then the peace comes, doesn't it? Then the peace comes. Today we're talking about not being in the right place, and maybe you don't feel like you're in the right place in the work today where God has you, but maybe it is where God has you, and you have to challenge your own emotions, because you have to be, if you can't be content where you are today, you're not going to be content where you want to be tomorrow. Now, discontentment can get us into trouble, but a little bit of discontent allowing us to be pushed in a new direction can also be a healthy thing. It's a matter of really learning to trust God, isn't it?
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
If you've got a minute, I'll give you two ways to help you with those prima donnas at work.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
Have you ever experienced work drama with people who blame you for their mistakes or take credit for your work? Maybe somebody who complains to get attention and be noticed. Well, those are prima donnas. They spread gossip, they're always striving for the spotlight, and they blame you. To negotiate with prima donnas, do two things. One, acknowledge their behavior. Let them know you've seen what they're doing. And two, don't get lost in their drama. Their exaggerated stories are attempts to lead you off course. Instead, remind them that positive recognition for a job well done is much better than creating negative impressions. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
The Intentional Living Washington, D.C. tour is a vacation and a faith-building experience all in one. You and your family will come face-to-face with God's Word through the all-new Bible Museum.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
And I'm Peter Brooks.
We're looking forward to exploring America's spiritual heritage and hear the true, powerful stories behind the iconic monuments and museums of Washington, D.C., with you and your family.
Just imagine experiencing an entire museum dedicated to the Bible. Everything's planned out, so all you have to do is register.
And you can do that right now at theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington. Once you're registered, the only thing left to do is get all excited about vacationing together as we experience Washington, D.C., October 10th through 16th.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Have you been struggling at work? Or maybe you've had a breakthrough there? Give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. So what's your one thing? Jennifer's one thing is to pray for her family every day. Cheryl's one thing is to go to her fitness club at least 4 mornings a week until it becomes a habit. Jennifer and Cheryl have made these their 30-day challenge. So, what's your one thing? Let us know at theintentionallife.com. Again, that's theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I'm a 45-year-old mother and grandmother who has been very intentional in the fact that I have returned to college to finish my degree.
What I'm doing intentionally is going back to school as a nurse and living intentionally for my future. Financially.
My eating's intentional. I'm even healthy now. Just changing things, being intentional in trying to do things to save my health, save my life.
I think the intentional living part for me is that I'm finding ways to give back to my community and making that an intentional part of what I do every day.
The two ways that I'm trying to live intentionally, one is to just simply not overlook the obvious in life. And the other one would be to listen for what is being said and not to just listen for what I want to hear.
Oh, wow. That's pretty profound. You know what I really am learning myself as I hear the stories that continue to flow in here to our storyline is that each of us take this thing of living intentionally and we have our own unique sort of story. It's not a cookie cutter thing. It comes back to the simplicity of we want our lives to matter. We know that we're here for a purpose. We know at the end of the day what we do. If we're a follower of Christ, there's something within us. We know that we're here to bring glory to Him. And that ultimately is why each story is different, because each of us are wired differently. Each of us are at a different stage in life. If you're a mom or dad with little kids at home, right now you bring glory to Christ by being intentional with those kids. They will leave some point, and you're going to focus on other things. That constantly we're looking in our lives, the stage we're going through, where we are, and choosing to be intentional in that area of our life. Come share your story with us. I really mean that. It's just a simple story of how you're being intentional. It doesn't have to be profound. Just be real. 888-888-1717. Well, we have Mike on the line today in Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Dr. Andy. How you doing? I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, I'm glad you got through. Tell me, what's your question for me today?
Yeah, I was kind of having a question about hypnosis. I'm in my 40s, but the last 8-10 years, I've been having a lot of anxiety. I've been on probably about 18 different medicines from the doctor, you know, for this, and that doesn't seem to be helping. I've talked to a Christian psychologist, and he kind of said that I had probably a separation anxiety. I've had some losses in my life. I am a Christian. I love God. You know, faithful reader, and, you know, the Bible and everything. And anyway, I'm still having a lot of trouble. And I was thinking about maybe trying to check out the deal of hypnosis to see if that would help.
Well, Mike, let me see if I understand. You have anxiety. Is the anxiety keeping you from functioning?
Yeah, I've lost my job and everything, and so now all we have is my wife's income. I'm pretty much stuck in my little hometown area. I don't leave and go anywhere.
You get anxious when you leave the house. You get anxious in crowds. Is there certain settings that you're more anxious than others?
When I have people around me, family and friends, when I start getting anxious, you know, I can talk to them. And I mean, not just about this, but, you know, maybe about a football game or just anything. And it gets my mind off of it, and I start feeling better. And so when there's not people around me, I start really getting anxious and scared. I know for a fact that, you know, if I'm stuck at my house by myself, I'm not going to, like, blow up and explode and die. I mean, you know, I understand that, but I have trouble getting my mind to keep racing, you know, really scary thoughts.
And then you get really obsessive thoughts. You get very obsessive thinking and so on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me share with you a couple things I think is important, Mike, as we think about hypnosis. I don't have a lot of experience with hypnosis. I took a class in hypnosis as part of my training, and I know that hypnosis is used for such things as, you know, anxiety and also for addictions and so on. The challenge I have with hypnosis, or the concern I have with hypnosis, is it's designed in part to modify altered state in some fashion. And there is a level of, in my reading, a level of suggestibility during those times. And the question is, what's being suggested? What are you putting in to your mind during those high levels of suggestibility? Is it scripture? Are you being filled with the truth? Are you being filled with things that will honor Christ? Or is there things that are going to be filling your mind during this process that may be contrary? At the same time, I understand that hypnosis is not what the average person thinks, you know, that some way or other, you know, someone's waving a clock in front of your face and then they take over control of your life. But it is an opportunity for people to work on their thinking. I guess to answer your question, Mike, directly is it wouldn't be my first recommendation. Of course, you've been through a lot, it sounds like, with medications and psychologists. Anxiety can be a debilitating problem. I think what I would encourage you to do, Mike, is to seek one trusted Christian psychiatrist or a good psychiatrist that you trust, and get with that person and allow them to really work with you on a treatment program, because it sounds like maybe you've tried a lot of different things over time, but haven't stuck with any one thing. Does that make sense?
Like the medicine, been to a couple different doctors, and most of it just clouds my thinking and my, you know, and stuff like that. And then, of course, you can watch TV and figure out what all the side effects are.
I think what's really important, Mike, is that you get with a professional, with a psychiatrist. You know, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a physician. And so when we speak of the medications, we talk about some of these psychiatric issues. I think you're better to be under the treatment of a person who's really a professional in this area and be intentional about it. And spiritually, let me just add this. From a spiritual standpoint, there's a great passage, if we can just understand it, in Philippians chapter 4, where the Bible commands to be anxious for nothing but everything in prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. It's a triad. I look at it as the three legs of dealing with anxiety spiritually. And if we take these three and we apply them every day to our lives intentionally, it can be a great help and a part of the treatment of getting healthy. We'll be praying for you, Mike. Thank you for your call at Intentional Living. The second thing that James says to us is that desire is powerful. He says that it's like we're being dragged away. It's like someone grabbed me. You ever felt that way with a desire? You ever been driving down the road and you have a desire for something and it's like somebody grabbed you by the collar and just pulled you like a magnet to go and do or be or think or react in a way that you know and I know is really at that core level of desire? Because ultimately, that's how we get in trouble. Boy, I welcome you into our teaching session that was live with my staff. I recorded it a few weeks ago, and we get a chance to take what I teach exclusively with my staff and with visitors here at our center, and we send it out on CD every month to those of you who are members on this journey with us at Intentional Living. If you're not, come and join us today. If you are, watch for this. It's coming your way. And I would ask you and thank you in advance for your continued, ongoing, faithful support for Intentional Living. We really appreciate it. You're making the difference, allowing us to do this. If you're not a member, hey, it's really simple. Two ways you can do this. Go online to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours to 888-888-1717, press number 4, and they'll take you directly to our staff who'd love to talk to you and get you signed up. And we're going to send you a new member kit, a little box with two of our best-selling books, one on the power of one thing for your own personal growth, and one for couples on Star for Affection, along with the wristband that I wear every day, one thing. I have to say thank you, and then every month a brand new teaching, including the entire teaching of what you just heard, the problem of self followed by the solution to self. Both of them are a gift to you. Thanks for your support. We'll see you on Monday with more Intentional Living.